I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Presence, thank you for strengthening us, for encouraging us, and for keeping us going and moving on towards the goal, the prize, and the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We are grateful to you this morning, and we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, because we can't really do much without the Holy Spirit. So we pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit this morning. We pray for your presence, that you will guide us and be with us. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Cause the Spirit of revelation to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Amen. Well, we thank God for another morning. Amen. In-person service. And those of you on Facebook and on Zoom, you're also welcome to church. Amen. But we look forward to seeing you right here soon in person, so we can feel you and, you know, amen. I was going to say touch you. I don't know if it's just, I don't know if it's not time yet, but we're getting there somehow. Amen. We're getting there somehow, and I believe that by the grace and by the power of God and the mercies of God, this pandemic is going to come to an end. Amen. It's going to come to an end. It will be history. We'll talk about it as something that happened in the past. We'll say during the pandemic. Do you remember back then? Yes, because God would have put us so far forward past it. Amen. And his grace and blessing will be with us. Amen. And that is why we as a church must have a good perspective of what we have experienced or the world is experiencing. Amen. I believe that unpleasant as it has been, the reality is that it is one of the signs of the times, and it is one of the signs of the end times. It's one of the signs that Jesus gave us concerning the things that will happen as his coming draws closer and closer. Do you understand? So while we're going through it, you know, we need to understand also the message it carries. And the message it carries is that Jesus is coming again. The world has gotten itself so busy and so much into new inventions and, you know, new technology and new things are happening everywhere. People have gotten busier and busier and busier, so much so that we seem to have forgotten that the music is going to end one day. We seem to have forgotten that everything is coming to a head one day. That things will stop one day. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Many Christians have even forgotten the purpose of our salvation. That why have we even been saved? You see, is it just for living an alternative life while we're here on earth, which is just to live a parallel life, that instead of your life running on this track, it's instead on this track? Do you understand? But that's not the purpose for which we have been saved. We have been saved because one day this world will come to an end. And Jesus Christ is coming back to take us back with him to eternity. Do you understand? And this eternity we enter either by dying before he comes, or when he comes, the Bible says there will be some of us alive and he will come for us. Do you see? So either way, the purpose of salvation is to guarantee a place for you in eternity. Amen. And the purpose of salvation, or while the salvation process continues here on earth, it is to prepare you for that same eternity and to give you an opportunity to show up in eternity in style and to show up deserving some rewards over there in eternity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So we have not just been saved to have just an alternative lifestyle. Do you see? Which is that now that you are saved, you don't smoke, you don't drink, versus the life you had before. You used to smoke, you used to drink, and then it's like life. Salvation is not to divide humanity into smokers and non-smokers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. That you can easily do with a sign. You don't need to send your only begotten son to achieve that. Do you see? You just put a sign up in a room and say, no smoking. Then you put another sign somewhere and say, smoker session. But Jesus gave his life for us for a purpose. And that purpose must be accomplished. And so he's going to come back for us. He's going to come back for his church. The goal of all of this is to make it to heaven. We can't get so busy with this that we miss the goal. We can't get so busy with it that we miss the whole point. The whole point is that one day you make it to heaven. Whether it is because you died here before he came, or that he came while you are alive to take you, whichever your mode of transport, the goal is to make it to heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We must make it, and all of us must think about heaven. Amen. A Christian must think often about heaven. You must not only think about God helping you to have a successful career here. You must not only think about God blessing you, God delivering you from evil. You must think about the higher purpose. And the higher purpose is for us to make it to heaven. You must think about having mansions in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Jesus talked about mansions in heaven. Jesus talked about streets of gold. Heaven is paved with streets of gold. We must think longingly about heaven and eternity, and not just a nice, comfortable life here on earth. We shouldn't enjoy being here so much that we don't think about heaven anymore. No, if we do that, then it would mean that we have stayed too long on the playground. You know, sometimes when you take kids to the playground, they think that's home. So much so that when mommy comes back and says, now it's time to go home, they cry. And they don't want to leave the playground. But the playground is the playground. The playground is not home. And for us as Christians, this is our playground. And this is where we're playing We're making friends. We're relating with people and so on. But a time is going to come for all of us when it will be time to go home. And it's either that we will go or we will be taken. But either way, it's going to end at this place at some point. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so Christians must have their minds on the same. So as we are experiencing, you know, a pandemic, something the world has not, at least our time has not, our generation has not seen anything like that before. And as we go through it, a time when everybody is forced to wear a mask, a time when so many people have died across the entire world, we must get the message of it. And Jesus did say, or the Bible did say, that one of the signs of the end times would be pestilence, which is a pandemic like this one. So it's a sign. It's a sign that Jesus is coming, that we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end. And we must receive that message. Amen. That if indeed this is a message to us about coming closer and closer to the end, then what are we supposed to do? Do you see? That's when we begin to understand that as Christians, we must get busy with the Lord's work. We must get busy still with the purpose for which Jesus Christ came to give his life. We must get busy as a church still with evangelism, going back to preaching, going back, because it seems the pandemic has paused our purposes. Do you see what I'm saying? Everyone has gotten busy trying to stay alive, trying to avoid the virus, isn't it? It's like it seemed like the church had been given one long break, because we're not even allowed to interact with each other. We're not even allowed to go to places. We're not even allowed to speak to people and so on. So as I see some form of alleviation, I kind of feel that, you know, we are being given another opportunity. Do you see what I'm saying? And we must recognize it as such, that this is an opportunity, because it could have ended. You see, it could have ended for you. It could have ended for me. It could have been over and we would never see another end. For some people, it did end. You know, the pandemic showed up and there was no coming out of it for them. And it's just finished for them. Even pastors and some ministers. Do you see what I'm saying? But God has given you and I a chance. Hallelujah. And so as we emerge out of it, we need to emerge with the purpose still in mind, that we have a work to do. We have been saved and left here for a purpose. And that purpose is not just to live the smoking, non-smoking life. It's not to live in the fornicating, non-fornicating section. It's higher than that. It is to let the world know that God loves them. It's to let the world know that Jesus died for them. It is to let the world know that there is no need to continue in your sin. It is to let the world know that Jesus Christ is coming back again. It's to make that message of the gospel popular again. And let everybody know that this whole thing is leading somewhere. And your life, when it's over, must end you up ready for eternity with the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. And that the alternative to that, indeed, is an eternity in hell. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life instead of everlasting damnation. Hallelujah. That's the message, and that's the purpose of the church. So we're going back to it. Can I have an amen? We're going back to preaching the gospel. We're going back to outreaches. We're going back to person-to-person evangelism. Whether people mind us or not, it's not the point. It's not the point. Sometimes you see people selling stuff by the roadside, and whether people are buying it or not, they are there. Yeah, whether people are buying or not, they are there. You see the gas stations open, and there's nobody filling their gas, but they are there and they are still open. Do you see what I'm saying? We must also take the gospel out. We must also go on outreach, even when we are not heard. Our job is to preach. Our job is to put the message out there. Our job is to let people know that Jesus died for them. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus told the disciples, don't start preaching because you need the comforter. You need to be in partnership with him. Yes, because his part of the job is to convict people. And our part of the job is to speak and to share the gospel with those people. Hallelujah. So we must do our part so he can do his part based on what we have done. Do you understand? Yeah. So we must still go out. We must still preach. We must still hold our placards. We must still remind people about Jesus. That Jesus can make a difference in their lives today if they give him a chance. If they give Jesus a chance, he could turn their mourning into dancing. If they give Jesus a chance, he could save their souls from hell. He could save them. He could break the cycle of sin and evil in their lives. That's our job. And there's no institution that is charged with that responsibility. There's no school that has that responsibility. There is no business that has that responsibility. Only the church of Jesus Christ is charged with the responsibility of preaching the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. If we don't pass out water to people, somehow somebody else will pass out water. If we don't give clothing to people, somehow somebody will give them something to wear. Even the government. Do you see what I'm saying? But if we do not do the work of preaching the gospel, there is no provision. There is no one else who is charged with the work of letting people know that they are sinners and that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that gift is available to everyone. And you can access this eternal life by a simple prayer asking Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sins, and you become a child of God. This has got to be the simplest message and the easiest message to pass on to people. And the church must not be distracted. We must not be distracted. That's why I can't even understand why some people make it their business to smear the church and to do things that make our message confusing and not credible while still claiming to belong on the same side. No. We have a work to do. We have church work to do. We have to preach Jesus. And we will preach Jesus. We are continuing. We are continuing to preach the message of Jesus Christ. And we're going to keep telling the world about Jesus until our last day on earth. And we're only going to do it more. We're going to do it in more places. We're going to do it with more people. To more people, by more people, and keep preaching and preaching and preaching until we get to heaven and Jesus tells us, well done, well done, well done. Hallelujah. Amen. So are you ready to go back to outreaches? Are you ready to go back into the streets on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoons, and whichever times we go on outreach? Are you ready to go back out there and pass out tracts and stand by the roadside and sing and lift up our placards again and let the world know that pandemic or no pandemic, COVID-19 or COVID-20 or COVID whatever, Jesus is still Lord. The message of salvation is still what the world needs, and Jesus is still the answer to the world. That is our job, and He's counting on us to do it. Can I have an amen? Today I'm sharing with you from how you can preach salvation. How you can preach salvation. And I'm sharing message number 5, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. You know, while we've been busy protecting and preserving ourselves, think about how many people have died without knowing Jesus Christ. How many people have been sucked up into death? People who were not expecting or planning to die at all anytime soon. And some got as little notice as what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, between contracting the virus and dying, you know, a very short time, and they were just snatched away. And sometimes I just imagine how many such people died without Jesus. How many such people died without knowing the Savior. And how many of those people you and I met and did not tell about the Savior? We have a lot of work to do, folks. And we are going to do it as God enables us. Amen. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 is the story of the Good Samaritan. And this is a story that Jesus himself told when He started teaching. He started preaching about loving your neighbor, right? Luke chapter 10 and from verse 25. It says, one day, the version I'm reading says one day. Okay, this one says a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Right. My version says one day an expert in religious law stood up. He stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? So they were asking about eternal life even back then. Do you see? What should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And then verse 27, the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28 says, right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. In other words, you know it already. So just do it and you will live. But the man, verse 29, wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? You see, and who is my neighbor? Who is this person I'm supposed to love? Then Jesus replied with a story. Okay? So I'm going to switch now to King James, and let's go to the story that Jesus told in response to this man's interesting question. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. See, it's a pity that all the religious people who met this man actually saw him, but they just passed by on the other side. Much like the religious people of our time, you and I, who meet people who need salvation, but whom we pass by all the time, over on the other side, sometimes because our lives don't even meet, you know, and other times because we are so busy minding our own business and busy trying to get ahead in life, with busy trying to achieve our own things, goals, and so on that we have set for ourselves, that we really don't care about anybody's eternal destiny. It is their business and they can go to hell. But Jesus says we must love our neighbors. We must care about our neighbors. And he told this story to illustrate who is your neighbor. Do you see? Then, in verse 32, it says, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. When he saw him, he had feelings. And he expressed compassion for him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Can you take her out so that she'll be okay? You can bring her back after. All right. Kara, you just came. We have been here, and you just came. And hallelujah. All right. So, verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Hallelujah. Go and do likewise. Like what? Go and do like someone who shows mercy on people. Go and do like someone who cares about the plight of others. Go and do likewise, like someone who knows that the world is dying, the world is sinking in sin, and that you have an answer. Even with your own life, And with your own testimony, you know that Jesus, that does make a difference in people's lives. And that is the least we can do for people, to show them who made a difference in our lives. Hallelujah. Right. So number one, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey of life from birth to death. Hallelujah. Like this man, all of us are on a journey of life from birth to death. Now, the journey doesn't begin in the same place for everyone. And because it doesn't begin in the same place for everyone, it doesn't end in the same place for everyone. It doesn't end at the same time for everyone. One of the commonest deceptions in life is to assume that because someone is with you, you're going to end it together. But the journey of life is more like riding on a public bus. That the person can be sitting next to you, but his stop could occur way before your stop occurs. That they could easily be on the bus long after you got off the bus, and they would still be riding. See, it's a little different from an airplane. On an airplane, once you take off, if we took off together, we land together. Do you see? But life is more like riding the bus. There are so many opportunities to get off. And as we get from stop to stop to stop, you find different people getting off and different people getting on. So sometimes while you remain in your one seat, you find yourself changing companions. Yeah. You could go through about two or three different companions before now you yourself have to get off. Hallelujah. And so one of the deceptions of life is that because we are classmates, because we are neighbors, even because we are family, do you see? We will all start and we will all end together. I think one of the surprises for couples is when one of them dies. Yes, and I feel it must be a very difficult thing. But the truth is that someone you marry is someone who was already on the bus before you got on, and his destination was set before you sat next to them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? It's just that nobody's stop is written on their face. Everybody looks like they are going all the way to the end. Everybody looks like they are riding the entire journey and they are going to grow up to be a good 90 years old before they depart this earth. But it is good and wisdom to be mindful of the reality that we don't all get off at the same time. That's something that must be on your mind. It's something you must think about. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 39, it says, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." Do you see? Then the next verse says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Amen. It says, "The Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." See, I find it interesting that Jesus would compare himself with a thief. But that's a message that you must always try to find something good about. So there must be something good about everyone. Do you see? Now, Jesus was able to find something good to learn from a thief. That thieves don't give notice when they are coming. And he's saying that just like thieves don't give notice when they are coming, it is important. He said the only way we fight them off is to live in constant awareness of the possibility that they could show up. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? As we are sitting here in the service, most of you have locked your cars. And no thief has promised you a visit. But you have decided to lock up your car, keep your valuables out of sight, the things that are very precious, you've brought them with you. Do you see? Not because a thief has promised you or told you or given you a warning that he's coming to visit, but you have decided that, you know, I need to live constantly in readiness of being attacked. That I am ready. If a thief was to show up by my car, I know that that thief will not be able to get in, at least not easily. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And Jesus says, this attitude you have towards the thief is the same attitude you must have in relation to his coming. Do you see? Yes. And not only his coming, but also your going. Because I told you, it's about the destination, which is eternity. And we enter it either by Jesus coming to take us there, or death transporting us there. Do you understand? But it's about eternity. I mean, at least anybody who has been alive for any length of time knows that we don't remain here. Everybody seems to go somewhere. And when they go, they don't come back. Isn't it? Yeah. So it is unwise to not think about something like that. Something that so affects all humanity, all races experience it, all genders experience it, people from all walks of life experience it. How could you exist and not think about it? How could you not think about the end of life and what happens after? So Jesus said that, be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. It means the coming of the Lord will take us by surprise. It's going to happen at an hour when you think not. And not just the coming of the Lord, also your departure from earth will come at an hour that you think not. It will surprise you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, look at the other verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. Because that one talks more about your departure. The first one talks about Jesus coming. This one is about your departure. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, for man also knoweth not his time. Can you see that? As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. When it falleth suddenly upon them. Here is a good place to switch the versions so we can go deeper, right? So maybe new, yes. It says, people can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. Amen. That's the reality of life. It will happen suddenly. Suddenly it will happen. And so it's important for us to know that we are on a journey and that that journey could end at any time, and not be deceived by the group and assume that we're in a group. So we will always be in the group. And just as the group began together, the group is going to end together. That's never true. Hallelujah. Number two, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey of life and will experience various problems on that journey. Amen. We are on a journey of life, and just like the man experienced problems on the journey, you and I are also going to experience problems on that journey. Hallelujah. See, ladies and gentlemen, problems are a part of life. Problems are a part of life. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Job chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Can you see that? Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Verse 2 says, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. He fleeth as a shadow and then continueth not. Yeah. Like a shadow, he just vanishes. Hallelujah. So what Job is telling us is that our lives are short. Life on this earth is short but full of issues. Yeah, full of issues. Sometimes I wonder, why did God create in us the ability to cry? I think he was planning for us to use it. What do you think? Yes. Because all the things we can do, we have found appropriate ways to use them, and we do, isn't it? And one of the things we can do is to cry. And so, it's a message to us about life. That life is full of troubles. Some people have a very negative attitude towards trouble. And they don't do well. And unfortunately, you are not spared trouble just because you don't like it. Or because you don't take it well. Or because you have a negative attitude towards it. No one is spared trouble because they don't like trouble. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is better for you to brace yourself for trouble and difficulties in life. Amen. It is better for you to have that mind that there are challenges and there are difficulties that occur in this life. The man was just traveling from here to here, and he fell among thieves. He wasn't expecting them, but they showed up. There are troubles that you don't choose. There are troubles we choose by our choices. We invite those troubles. You get it? We give those troubles passwords to our lives, and they just enter. By the choices you make, you are just like standing somewhere and announcing your PIN number to someone. And then they access your life. But I'm saying that the life is such that even if you did not give someone the PIN number, they would try to come in anyway. So as for those who give out their PIN numbers and passwords, they get to have, you know, double portion of the troubles. Life is complex, and expect that you will have some difficulties and troubles. Jesus said, you know, he said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. He said, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. So don't be too surprised. You need to have a positive attitude towards trouble. Amen. No matter what you try to do in this world, you will encounter challenges, difficulties. You're trying to have or be in a relationship, expect trouble. Trying to stay married, expect trouble. Trying to study at school, expect trouble. Trying to raise a family, expect trouble. You're working somewhere, expect trouble. You should wake up. You wake up one day and there's trouble or there's some situation. You should just know this is life. Life is just happening. Can I have an amen? You should just know that life is happening. Don't be so negative. Some people actually take life so seriously and the troubles of life, you know, they wound you helplessly. You allow the troubles of life to affect you so badly that even though the life does not end, the troubles have now either incapacitated you, the troubles have now given you a permanent limp that you don't go through life well. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. It's trouble that came, yes, and it's true that it was really bad, it's true that it affected you, but it was not supposed to continue on with you. And if you approach it properly, you will overcome it and continue and realize there's life after this too. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you need to be positive. You need to know when you have trouble, when you have difficulty, you need to know that it's just life. It's just life. It's just the way it is. This will also pass. And that there is hope ahead of you. You don't have to give up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't have to give up. You don't have to give up because you wrote an exam and you failed. You get it? Yeah. You don't have to give up because you tried it the second time or the third time and it didn't work out. Perhaps the fourth one, it will work out. It will work out. There are many people who have failed at different things who are surprised at where they are right now. Because when they were failing, it felt like that was life itself, that they were not supposed to be around. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when you start to taste the success that is ahead, it's just ahead. Just keep coming. You begin to realize that it's not so bad after all. Hallelujah. So don't be too hard on yourself when you go through the difficulties of life. Say amen. Number three, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey of life and will need the help of God in this life. John chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. Without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Everybody will eventually believe this. And so the difference really is in when you believe it. But those who get to believe this early benefit from it. Hallelujah. That you need God in this life. You need God in this life. That God is an important inclusion if you're going to go through this journey. Hallelujah. Yes. And I'm talking about the one and only living God, the true living God. Hallelujah. Because there are some people who agree, they realize, because it doesn't take too much to realize you need some extra power. You need something. They're just not sure which one, and they reach out for the wrong power. But they know that you need to do something. It's like a child that is born. They find they have a mouth and they have a hand that puts things in it. It's for putting things in it. And you see, they start to put things in it. So you just need some guidance just to put the right thing in it. Do you see what I'm saying? We need God. There is a vacuum in everybody's life that is designed for only God to fill. It's designed for only God to fit. And it's designed for only God to satisfy. And you can be tossing different things into it all your life. People toss different things into that vacuum because a human being walks around and there's no announcement anywhere that you need an idol or a god or something, but they just somehow gravitate towards finding something. You know that you are missing something. So even those who say that, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in anything, conclude with, I believe in myself. Because you realize that you need to defer to something, even if it's yourself. Do you get it? Yes. And yourself is the one you choose when you run out of choices. And you realize there's nothing else left. But then you just direct it to yourself. I believe in myself. That I am God. Myself, I am my God. Do you see? But how can you be your God when you didn't make you? Do you see what I'm saying? So in life, you're going to need God. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Psalms 121 and verse 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. The Lord which made the heaven and the earth. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. There is a God which made the heaven and the earth. This world is too complex for you to assume it exists on its own. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Because if someone came to your house, your little house or apartment or room, wherever you're staying, and says everything here came here on its own. Just imagine that. You even feel insulted. Especially when you think that you spent a lot of money to make this place the way it is. Do you get it? Yes. That's why sometimes when people ask, does it come with it? People are careful to say, no, it doesn't come with it. This is like, I put this one in. So life, this world is too complex. The other day I was just looking at the trees against the background of the blue sky and the whole beauty of nature. And I was just thinking, some clever person has really put this thing together. Very, very nicely. Very, very nicely. Because imagine the sky was always red. I mean, if the sky was like her jacket, like right that. Imagine the whole sky was like that. I think it would be terrible. Or the grass was red. Instead of green. So God has made the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And you're going to need his help. You need to acknowledge him in order to benefit from his help while you're going through his world. Amen. Then the next one, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you're on a journey that has many troubles. And God knows your troubles and has sent Jesus Christ as a form of help. He has sent help to you in the form of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the best thing that can happen to anybody. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, New American Standard Version, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for a good one, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Hallelujah. This is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible demonstrating God's interest in us and God's love for us. Right? The Bible says nobody dies even for a good person, or nobody dies for anybody. Do you see? Yes, or a bad person for that matter. Nobody dies for a bad person. But maybe for a good person, you might find a person or two who may die for the person. But here is the case, and he says that in the case of man, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, when we were bad for sure, that's when Christ died for us. Hallelujah. When people pay a high price for something in a very bad state, it's a sign that they see a lot of value in that thing. They must really love that thing. Do you understand? Like you take people who buy classic cars. If you know the beginnings of some of those cars, sometimes they've been in some barn somewhere, hiding somewhere. It's completely torn. It's rusted. It's really destroyed. And they go and hunt it and give someone a lot of money to get it. It's a sign that those people are real lovers of cars. Yes. And they'll go and hunt it. I used to have an old man friend. One time he told me he was going to buy a car in Arkansas. He said he had found a car in Arkansas and that he had bought it online. So he was flying over there, and then they were going to rent a U-Haul and tow that car from Arkansas to Massachusetts. Yeah, he and his son. He's a lover of cars. He's a lover of cars. And he did. Spent a whole weekend. He flew over there. He rented a U-Haul and a trailer. And he put that thing on it. And they drove it all the way from Arkansas to Massachusetts. Because he could see some value in it. And it is because he loves cars. Do you see? That's what Jesus is doing right here. God demonstrates. It says, to send Jesus to die for sinners is a demonstration of a love for sinners. He sent Jesus to die not for good people. Do you see? Not for good people, but for sinners. So if you think you are a sinner, it's good news for you. Anytime you think of yourself as a sinner, when you think of yourself as being bad, just remember there's someone who specializes in people who are in that state. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. People who love, there are some people, they just live for junk. Have you seen that vehicle, 1-800 got junk or something like that? Yes. Whatever is junky to you is what they specialize in. And they'll come to where you are, and they'll come and take the junk with gladness. Even sometimes pay you money for the junk. Something you have no use for. They'll still come and take it and give you a little tip to say, thank you for giving us your junk. Hallelujah. God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, when we were in our worst state, Christ died for us. is a huge statement about love. Hallelujah. Because if God will pay this price for you in that state, imagine what God will do for you in this state. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, the highest price was paid when you were in your worst state. So this you is a much better you for God to love. It's a much easier you for God to love. That's why you must not allow the devil to tell you God hates you. You must not allow demons to suggest to you that God has condemned you. You must not allow the devil to tell you that God has no plan for you, that your life is going nowhere, that there's no, you are a completely useless person. Don't believe such a lie, because God paid a high price for you even when you didn't care about him. How much more now, when you do care about him, when you at least make the effort to be conscious of him and to acknowledge him? Can I have an amen? Amen. The next one is that, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey on a journey of life on which you need help from others. Hallelujah. Yes. The help you need may not come in the way you expect it. Hallelujah. So you're on a journey and you're going to need others. Amen. And the help may not come from the source that you think. Now, that's very important for being blessed in this life. Because we read the story. The man who was by the roadside, the man who was wounded in the Samaritan story, was a man who probably didn't expect help. We all thought that as a priest was coming, there was hope. But the priest came by, and the priest just minded his own business and went over on the other side. Then came a Levite. A Levite is more like someone who comes from a family that becomes priests. Do you see? Yeah. And so it must have been expected that maybe by virtue of his upbringing or something like that, he would be sensitive to such things. But he also crossed over on the other side and did his own thing. Then came a Samaritan. Now, the Jews did not like or believe in Samaritans, but they believed that, you know, Samaritans had demons. Do you get it? Yeah. They thought that Samaritans were demon-possessed people. These are bad people. Do you get it? Yes. So they didn't think that the help would come from a Samaritan. But it took a Samaritan to help this guy. So that tells us that sometimes God's help for your life may come from a source that you don't expect. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you need to be open, because God can use different people to bless you. There's a good example here in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And you can read the story later, but when you go to verse 13, you see how a man called Naaman. Naaman was a mighty man, and yet the Bible says he was a leper. And then one day, you know, somebody told him to go and see a prophet, so the prophet would help him. You see, initially he didn't want to go, but eventually they persuaded him to go. And then he went all the way to the prophet, and the prophet didn't even come out to see him. He just sent a message from inside: go tell Naaman to go and swim. He has not been bathing. Go tell him to, you know, start bathing. You see? And Naaman was upset. Do you see? It says, his servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? Do you see? And this was because Naaman had previously, if you come to maybe verse 10, go to verse 10. Verse 10, it says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Then verse 11, but Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He had the whole thing laid out, isn't it? He had the whole thing worked out. Do you see? And that's how we miss God. You know, because we have everything worked out. The way God should move. The way it should be. The way it should feel. We have it all, even who God will use. Do you see? Yeah. So he had the whole thing where he said, behold, I thought his thinking was now sinking him. And so verse 12 says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was really upset. And he went away in a rage with his leprosy. Hallelujah. Which is what happens to a lot of people. Proud, but still without help. Yeah. You're so proud, you won't listen to anybody. You won't take anybody's advice. You won't listen. You won't do it. You won't go to church. And yet your whole life is a mess. And you're going about and carrying this mess with you and continuing your life in the mess like that. And you won't allow the people that God has brought into your life to help you to even have access to that life. Hallelujah. And so he went away in a rage. But in verse 13, we read how his servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? It's like, how difficult is this? Just wash and be clean. You know, because often people are willing to do more complex things. More complex things. More complex things. People are prepared to go distances to places. I mean, some of the things we do, I mean, and yet we're willing to do them instead of just very simple things like serve the Lord. How hard is it to go to church? How hard is it to pray? How hard is it, you know? Compare going to church to going to a nightclub and being left behind by the boyfriend that brought you over there. To find your way home because you picked up a fight. On our way here this morning, my wife was reading a story you know, about some people who went to a party, I think last night or so, and got shot. Yes, they had a party. And so she was saying, why do people take a gun to a party? You see, but that by itself is a message. Do you see that what people are calling pleasure? I mean, you're going to a party and you are afraid of what might happen at the party, and so you are armed. And truly, when you go to the party, it happens. Do you see? It's not a small thing to be an unbeliever, I tell you. you have to watch your back all the time. I tell you. But Jesus came to help us. Amen. So the next one is that, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, God has sent someone to pour in oil. Amen. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit who has been sent to lead you to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is a blessing to have. Amen. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, God sent Jesus. It says, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Hallelujah. He says, God sent Jesus to bless you. God sent Jesus to bless you in turning you away from your sins. It's a blessing to know Jesus. It's a blessing to ask Jesus to come into your life. It's a blessing for you when you encounter Jesus. It's not a bother. It's not a problem. It's a blessing to know Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, God sent him to bless you. How? How? In turning you away from your iniquities. That's the blessing that Jesus has brought into your life. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Because people who continue in their sins and iniquities end up regretting it. They always regret it. Hallelujah. That's why when people grow much older and they have a much lower tendency to commit certain kinds of sins, especially sins relating to the flesh. You get it? It's not that they have become better people. It's just the flesh has become less responsive. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So less responsive flesh keeps you just more tame and more sober and that sort of thing. But you see that at that point, they start to sound like priests. They say the same thing that a pastor would say. Do you see what I'm saying? The blessing of knowing Jesus. There's another verse in Romans, what is in verse 29? Is there verse 29? Off. I don't know if it's Romans chapter 3. Is there Romans chapter 3, verse 29? Anyway, the blessing, no, it's not this one. Okay, I'll show you one day. Amen. But it's a blessing to know Jesus. Can I have an amen? It's a blessing to know Jesus. And then I have just two quick points left. Next one is that God has sent, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey of life. And God has sent someone to pour in the wine. Okay, the red wine speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out to cleanse you from your sins. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus was poured out to cleanse you from your sins. Right? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ is active in cleansing people from their sins. Hallelujah. There is no sin you have committed that cannot be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no sin you have committed that cannot be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Every kind of sin. That's one of the reasons why we remind ourselves with communion every Sunday. Hallelujah. And we must never stop having communion. Because it's a reminder. It's a reminder that no matter how bad it feels, no matter how bad it sounds, no matter how bad it looks, the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. Hallelujah. And that it cleanses us from all sins. And that is why we must come to Jesus. Amen. And this is the message that God wants us to take to the world, which is that Jesus Christ will cleanse the world from its sins. Amen. And then the last one, like the man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey of life, and only someone who loves you will dare to stop and to help you on such a dangerous road. Hallelujah. So God sent Jesus Christ into this dangerous world because of his great love for you. God sent Jesus Christ into this dangerous world because of his great love for you. Hallelujah. Only someone who loves you will dare to stop and pay attention to you. So all the people that we do not share the gospel with, they may be our friends, they may be our relatives. Only one fact is proven by that, which is that we do not love them. Yeah, we do not love them. You know, you can live and accommodate people without really loving them. Yes. You can accommodate them. You can put up with them. You can tolerate them. But you do not love them. Do you understand? Yes. And if we love people, we will stop, take the trouble to share with them this one thing that they must know. That they need to be saved from their sin. That everybody is a sinner until they meet Jesus Christ. And that only Jesus can pay for our sins. And only he can make that difference in our lives. There's a very warm story here. Let me just read that to you and we close. Right? It says, there was an American family that lived happily in the United States of America. One of the children in this family, a young man, had Asian features. And it was obvious that he was not an original member of the family. One day, this young man, who was now in university, asked his father, "Daddy, how come I have Asian features, but you all don't? You know, how come I am so different? Where did you get me from?" His father answered, "I've been waiting for you to ask this question. Do you really want to know?" "Yes, I do," he answered, and his father proceeded to tell him. His father said, "Many years ago, I was a missionary in Korea when war broke out between the North and the South. Your mother and I were fleeing from the communist North to the South. It was a very cold, wintry day. When we passed over a bridge, your mother asked me to stop the car because she heard a baby crying. I refused to stop because it was too dangerous and there were soldiers behind us and there was a lot of shooting. But she insisted and I ended up stopping. We ran from the car and went under a huge bridge. There we saw something amazing. A Korean lady had just given birth to a baby under the bridge. The lady had taken off all her clothes and wrapped her new baby in her underwear and other clothes. Then she had curled herself around the baby to protect it from the icy cold winter. The baby was alive and crying, but the mother was frozen to death. That baby was you. and your mother gave her life to save you. When the young Korean-American heard the story, he was moved with great emotion and began trembling. He said to his father, "Please take me to the bridge where you found me. Please take me to the spot where you discovered me." The parents agreed and arranged to take him to the spot where he was found. When they got to the spot under the bridge, the young Korean man did something amazing. He took off all his clothes and lay stark naked on the ground and began crying and wailing. He cried, "Oh, Mama, it was cold on that night when you took off all your clothes and gave them to me. Oh, Mama, it was so cold when you gave your life for me. Oh, Mama, I love you and I thank you for dying for me. I will never forget what you did for me." He lay there naked and crying and had to be consoled and dragged away from that spot under the bridge in Korea. This story teaches us about the love that makes a person give his life for another. And when the Good Samaritan approached this dying traveler, he risked his life so that the traveler would have a chance to live. Do you think it was policemen or soldiers that made that woman take off her clothes and freeze to death for her child? Do you think she did it for financial gain? Do you think it was the soldiers who frightened her to do what she did? Certainly not. She gave her life for the love of the baby. Hallelujah. I want to say to you today that Jesus loves you. And not only you, Jesus loves the world. Jesus gave himself for more than you. Jesus gave his life for more than you. There are more people who can be saved if they got to know that Jesus has died for them. There are more people who would like to serve Jesus if someone would tell them and show them the way. If someone would be patient with them and guide them and show them what it means to be saved and show them the consequences of continuing to live in sin and show them what it means to have eternal life. There are many people who will be willing to serve Jesus just like you have chosen to serve Jesus. So let's come away from the selfishness. Let's not behave like the priest. Let's not behave like the Levites. Let's not be so eaten up with religion that we miss the point of it all. The point of it all is we were saved and left here so that we can be a blessing to those who are not saved. What is the point of being saved and left here if we are not going to be used as instruments of salvation for those who have not been saved? That's the purpose of the church. And that purpose must never leave the church. We must remind ourselves time and time again about this. We must always remind ourselves that the purpose of Christians here on earth, gathered in a church, is to mobilize themselves together and to get out there and let more people know that Jesus died for them. That it doesn't pay to be a sinner. Yes, we may have our problems. Yes, we may have our difficulties. But our mission and our goal must stay clear. It must be clear. It must remain clear. We must always keep fighting towards it. Our purpose is not to gather to sing songs. Our purpose is not to gather. Do you think a military gathers to sing songs? You know the military, they sing. They have military chants and all that, and they sing. Or do you think that's why they are trying to form a choir? No, that's not it. Hallelujah. That's not the purpose. Our purpose is to let the world know Jesus died for them. And so we will let the world know Amen. So we are going back to evangelism. Amen. We are going back to outreaches. We are going back to different ways of winning souls. The devil often wants to discourage the body so that we sit down in despondency and discouragement so we don't tell anybody the good news. But that's exactly what we are going to do as the Lord enables us. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. And we thank God for today. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Wow. Hallelujah. Jesus is good for the world. Jesus is good for the world. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and pray. Ask God to use you to let the world know that Jesus saves. Say, Lord, I may not know much, but at least there's one thing I know, that you died because you love the world. And I can tell somebody that you died for him. Whether it makes sense to him or not, that will be up to you to explain to him, Lord. But I'm willing to pass on the message. I'm willing to be the messenger of the gospel. I'm willing to tell somebody that Jesus died for him. I'm willing to do that. And I'll leave it up to you to wrestle with that soul, to wrestle with his heart, to wrestle with his mind, his conscience, until he gives his life to you. But I will tell him. That much I promise you, Lord, I will do. I want everybody to pray and say, Lord, please use me to tell the world. All of you on Zoom, all of you on Facebook, I want you to join the prayer and tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to go out witnessing. I don't want to disappear when it's time for outreach. I want to be one of those that you will use to tell the world that Jesus died for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for today and thank you for the opportunity to be used by you. Thank you for your word and the message of the Samaritan. You said that if we want eternal life, we must love our neighbor. We must love our neighbor, and that means we must go to people and tell them about Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will bless us this afternoon. Touch our hearts. Give us a burden for those who are lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to give your life to Christ this afternoon, you're saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know I need you. I know you died for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to say this prayer with me and we'll give our lives to Christ together. Okay? So say with me, everybody, say, Lord Jesus, over on Zoom and over on Facebook, wherever you're joining the service from, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I know I'm a sinner, but you died to save me from my sins. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. Clean me up, Lord. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Right now, you can go to the back and grab your communion. If you don't have one yet, there's communion on the table over there. Just reach out and take one very quickly and come back as we receive our communion this afternoon. Hallelujah. Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are and will live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing the song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout
together
to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness 100-fold, and will live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have the prophet ready? You don't have it? Okay, great. Hallelujah. I want you to take your communion, take out your bread with me this afternoon. And just remember, those of you online also get your communion. I hope you do have it already. And take out your bread. This is the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. Hallelujah. This is how Jesus demonstrated His love for us. He paid the price. I mean, think about it. Think about how hurtful and painful it is just for someone to pinch you. Just a little pinch. But He gave His body. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. But I guess the message this afternoon is that you're not the only person that He cares about. That there are so many others that Jesus would like to reach. That Jesus has enough love to love you and everybody else. Loving other people will not make you run, will not take out of His love for you. Jesus can love you and the world. Hallelujah. And that is the message to us this afternoon. Amen. So I want you to take the bread with me. Hold your bread like this, everybody, and say, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for demonstrating Your love for me. I'm going to eat this bread. And by that I'm declaring that I have received Your love. I have embraced Your love. And I am willing to be a messenger, to carry this message of Your love to the rest of the world, to all my friends, to my colleagues at school and work, to my family members who are not saved, as many people as possible, I'd like to let them know that just as you loved me, you loved them too and gave yourself for them. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of being your messenger. Amen. You may eat the bread. Hallelujah. How many have made mistakes before? Right. Here is the mistake cleanser. Here is the blood of Jesus. Right. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven or washed away by the blood of Jesus. Sometimes they say that about detergents. We use them and after we can still see the stains remaining. But not so with the blood of Jesus. This is the blood of Jesus. It will never lose its power. It never expires. It will always have the ability to cleanse you from your sins. And the Bible says, though our sins be as scarlet, they will be as wool. The blood of Jesus. Say with me, the blood of Jesus. You may drink it. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from death to death. Sing it again. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from up your hand for a blessing. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ as a blessing for us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing, the blessedness of salvation. Where would we be without Jesus Christ? But you sent him because you loved us. And so today we pray, Lord, that the blessedness of salvation that has come upon us will begin to spread to people around us. Because if it was a disease that we got, that disease would affect everyone that is close to us. But thank God that it was not a disease that we got from Jesus, but instead we got the blessedness of salvation. And we pray, Lord, that this salvation will go round from person to person, that it will go from us to everyone who is connected to us, and it will go from them to everyone who is connected to them. And it will go further until the last person has been reached with the message of salvation. We pray, Lord, that your blessing will remain upon your people. We pray, Father, for the power of sin to be broken over our lives in the name of Jesus. That no more will we be people who are walking under the bondage of sin in spite of knowing Jesus. That having known Jesus, we will no longer walk in sin, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for your blessing to rest upon your people. Let every sickness be healed this afternoon. Let every backsliding be healed in the name of Jesus. Let every confusion be resolved in the name of Jesus. Let every unresolved matter concerning every one of your children, right here or online, let it be resolved in the name of Jesus. This week, may your grace be with us and your mercy be with us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your direction. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. All right.